CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Dorwin Stoddard's funeral will be this afternoon. He's the retired construction worker who shielded his wife from a killer's bullets in last weekend's Arizona massacre. Mavi Stoddard was shot in the legs, but she's expected to recover.
It's a horrible thing that happened. It touched so many lives. It hurt so many people. And that's why I feel no real animosity. I do forgive the young man. I hate what he did, but I don't hate him.
At least 18 people died in the flooding in Australia, but it's likely the toll will go higher. Glenn Bartholomew with Australian Broadcasting says the flooding has reached far and wide.
Affected more than 2 million people in about 51 distinct local government areas. 14 people are still missing, but that's down from a peak of about 78 at one point. It has been conceded that some may never be found.
Now that's Australia. The death toll from flooding caused by torrential rains in Brazil is nearing 600 people. CNN producer Helena de Moura is in the mountain resort town of Teresópolis outside Rio.
What they call the tsunami in the skies, that was when mudslides and flash floods created this sort of avalanche of huge boulders that just catapulted from these mountains and crashed into homes, crashed into cars, killing people instantly.
The military is patrolling the streets of the Tunisian capital after protesters drove the president from power. He bailed out and went to Saudi Arabia. They are upset at government corruption and no jobs. This man explains his motivation for protesting.
I want bread, but I want freedom.
New Jersey authorities arrested a suspected cop killer overnight. The 19-year-old man's accused of an execution-style killing of a Lakewood, New Jersey police officer Friday afternoon. Police say the suspect was talking to the officer who was in his patrol car. They say the man then stepped back suddenly, pulled out a handgun, and shot the officer three times. 17-year-old Teresa Scanlon of Nebraska won the Miss America pageant last night. She hopes to go on to law school, become a judge, and eventually a politician. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Oh my gosh.
That's something for Nikki this time.
Thank you. A little disco.
All right.
Shaking it in studio.
All right, well, all right, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. It seems like 20 years since we've been on live. Happy New Year, belatedly. Mm-hmm. This is great. Actually, I just finished swallowing my shamelessly plugged Georgetown Bagelry bagel in time to start the show. But we have an awesome show today. Mm-hmm. You say the name Mark Furstenberg. And the first thing that jumps to mind is bread.
That's true.
Mark opened the first Marvelous Market in 1990, bringing artisanal breads to Washington. And I found out he actually helped Thomas Keller for a couple of years open up his bakeries.
It helps when you read the bio.
Well, it does. It does. Thanks for rolling me right under the bus right away.
Early in the show.
Right away. Don't worry. That gives me 58 minutes to get you back. But he's also been working with the folks who own Perry's in Adams Morgan to reinvigorate and kind of renovate the menu there.
Well, and he's got a lot of other things going on. We'll get to him in just a bit. But, you know, the International Wine and Food Festival is coming to the D.C. area again in February. And we have mixologist Gina Tresorvani in studio. Good friend. She's going to be shaking up some cocktails and talking about what's going on at the International Wine and Food
Festival.
Well, I
want to know what cocktails have to do with wine and food. We'll find out.
I'm sure she'll tell you all about it. Now, new year, new you. Everybody makes their resolutions, and sometimes it has to
me.
Do... Clearly, not you. But everybody sometimes, instead of just talking about their weight, it also may be, what do you want to do with your life? That's a big question. Frank Morales is here from L'Académie de Cuisine. They are starting evening culinary courses. So if you really want to be a chef...
Okay, does that mean night school?
Yes.
Is that what Frank means?
In layman terms.
Okay.
So if you have always thought about being a chef but felt you could not quit your day job, this may be the right place for you. We'll
All
get
right.
the 411 on that.
And we also have Girish Matra in with us. He's from Good Earth Winery. Wines from India. Now you might say
can
what?
Can you come up to the mic?
But India has a robust wine industry. And Girish, let's start with you right away. Until Nikki came home from a wine tasting that you did at Monica Bidet's house, I'd never even considered that there were vineyards in India. Tell us about Good Earth Winery.
Yeah, we're a new winery. We are an artisanal winery. We only make about between 3,000 and 4,000 cases a year. And the wine industry is about 20 years old. It's not well known. But we decided to start out by making a wine that we hope will put the region on the map internationally as a wine region. I think we still have a ways to go, but I'd love for you to taste the wine.
Well, that's what, you know, if you want to put something on the map, this show is the place to start.
Yes, yes.
Bada bing. All right, so what are we going to be tasting first?
First, we're going to be tasting Arohi, which is a Sauvignon Blanc. It is, if you like New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs with the passion fruit and all that, this is not it.
Okay.
This is,
good, because I can't stand those wines.
Wait. I'm the comedian here, all right?
This is earthy and citrusy and herbaceous. So let's pour some.
Okay, sure. Terrific. Now, just quickly, where are the original vines from? I mean, when they started the process, what were they looking for, and where did they go for their initial vines?
Yes. We have three wines here that we are importing into the U.S. One is a Shiraz, the other is a Cabernet Sauvignon, and of course a Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Shiraz is actually almost indigenous to India. Legend has it that Genghis Khan brought some Shiraz with him from Persia many, many years ago. So, but it wasn't cultivated for a grapevine. It basically ran wild. So, among others, we did and other people did sort of brought it under control, if you would, and created the right kind of viticulture practices to enhance the quality of the fruit. So that's essentially Indian. The Cabernet and the Sauvignon Blanc are root stocks are from, Australia and South Africa.
Okay.
And they're not very old by wine standards. The Sauvignon Blanc vineyards are about 8 years old. The Cabernet is about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shiraz, you know, in cultivated form is about 10 years old as well.
All right. Well, while we're talking to Mark Furstenberg, we're going to taste that. And
taste some Sauvignon Blanc.
That'll be
nice
great.
Way to start off a new year and a new morning. Mark, we want to thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure. Thank you.
With so many celebrity chefs now pouring into D.C. and opening up restaurants, it's always good to remember that we already have a terrific crop of homegrown celebs, Mark Furstenberg being one, along with other taste treats. You can probably thank him for inspiring the current generation of bakers here in D.C. and across the country. And we're delighted to have you in today. I'm sure a lot of people know... But for those who don't, can we get a 411 on you, like how you started baking?
How did you start rolling in dough, Mark?
Ba-dum-bump.
I started baking the way most people start. I was a kid, and I got interested in how bread worked. And one summer while I was in college, I went to be a camp cook, a cook at a summer boys' camp. And
David's like, which one?
Which camp? Camp Timberlake.
I know Timberlake. We used to kick their butts in softball. Absolutely.
In upstate New York?
Well, since it's a Quaker camp, kicking the butt.
I went to Shohola, which was a Quaker camp.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Quakers did not kick butts.
Quakers and neither did the kids.
Butts.
Neither did the kids at Shohola.
Well, we looked at them anyways.
That's possible. I hitchhiked into Rutland, Vermont one day and bought a baking book, The Good Housekeeping Guide to Good Baking. And I took it back to camp and began making rolls. When I went back to college, I started baking for the dining hall, the co-op that I, where I ate my job, which became baker. And then I got an opportunity to be a short order cook. But I wasn't a baker. That isn't what I did for a living. I simply baked avocationally the way many people do once a week. And I threw flour and water and a bit of salt and made a bread. And of course, it was inconsistent. Of course, I didn't know what I was doing, but it was good bread. It was competent home-baked bread.
Mm-hmm. And so next step, how do we go from just being an at-home baker to...
Now, the next step was that I was unhappy with my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned 50 and thought I'd better do something about my career if I'm unhappy, because it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to become a baker. I decided to become a bread baker and open a bakery largely because my sister was the founder of Politics and Prose Bookstore.
I didn't know that.
And had a wonderful bookstore already on Connecticut Avenue. There was a vacancy in the block, and she said, you should do something with this store. So my sons, who were then in high school, and I distributed a questionnaire all around Chevy Chase, D.C., where you used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And when the questionnaires came back, they said, why don't we have any good bread in Washington? Why did I have such good bread in Paris? Why is there such good bread in New York and no bread in Paris, in Washington? So I decided, I can do that. I know how to bake bread. I'll open a bakery. But, of course, I didn't know how to bake bread commercially and had to learn.
Mm-hmm. And so... Fast forward, you opened up Marvelous Market.
Not so fast forward. Right. There was only 6 months between the time I decided to do it and the time Marvelous Market opened.
Wow.
Wow.
Restaurants take a lot longer today to open.
Restaurants do.
And bakeries.
Well, still, bakeries can open pretty quickly.
Can they?
If we had in Washington, and we don't, but if we had in Washington a tradition of neighborhood bakeries, so the people were opening small bakeries as bakeries exist in Paris.
Italy.
Right.
Sure.
Then it could be done very quickly, but we can't do that.
Well, yet. Let me shoot forward, because your skills are much broader than just baking, and you're a chef, and you've been working with the people at a place that's near and dear to my heart. I've been going to Paris for 25 years. I think it's probably been open longer than that, and it's the iconic restaurant in Adams Morgan. You've been working with them to kind of... I don't know what you want to call it, renovate, change up the menu.
Yeah, the owner. I love Perry's. I love the Perry's story. Perry's is a real American story.
Best rooftop in the city.
It is.
It's owned by an immigrant. It's owned by an Iranian immigrant, Saeed Azali. And the chef is a Gambian immigrant, Robert Dahlia. So it's a real immigrant success story, in a sense, of an American story. Saeed and I are friends, and he said to me a year or so ago, why don't you ever come to my restaurant? And I said, because I don't like the food. And a few days later,
when he took the gun out of his mouth, he said,
"Honesty is the best policy."
Well, no, he did what an undefensive person might do. He said, if you don't like the food, maybe you'd like to come help me change it.
Mm.
And that's what I've been doing over the past
year. So what
year.
Are you doing?
We remade the food into an American restaurant, a restaurant with simple American food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good.
Is it similar to what we're looking at right here?
It is what we're looking at right here.
So is this on the brunch menu today? They still do their big brunches?
Yeah.
Their drag queen brunches?
Yeah. Yes. These are not on the brunches.
Okay. No. Well, let's tell people a little bit about what we're looking at. Tell us about these two dishes.
Well, we're looking at a dill-cured salmon, essentially a gravlax, mm-hmm. which is not smoked but cured, and a typical Swedish-style mustard sauce to accompany it. And over here, we're looking at a rough country pate with pickled with vegetables that Robert pickles.
They look delicious. That's over a pickle.
Don't they look good?
Yeah,
I was
going to
say,
beautiful.
Thank goodness this is radio, so they can't see me drooling, but we got TV going here, too. So.
Now, so today the review came out by Tom Sietsma.
Today.
He gave you 2 stars.
He get.
How? What?
Not important.
No. I didn't say it was important.
That's what she's going to ask.
Even Michelle Richard got only 2.5 stars.
Yes. No. So, listen, we could have a whole debate on the star system because I'm totally against it.
Me too.
Having said that, it did come out today.
It did.
What is it like when you put your heart and soul into something and you read a review like that? I mean, it's a pretty pleasant review.
It's a wonderful
review. But he makes some constructive criticisms. How do you stomach those? How do you take those? And how do you take those opinions? Do you do anything with them? You say, he's full of it. I mean, how do you respond to it? And how do you make any changes next? I mean, what's your next move?
I have 2 answers to that.
Okay.
The first is that everything at Perry's, if it is prepared correctly, and it generally is something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence in it. If Tom doesn't like it, if Tom says, as he did, that the spicy mm-hmm. tomato sauce is not spicy, I may or may not go taste it, as I did yesterday, and say, Tom's wrong. It is spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's my greatest concession to a critic, to check to be sure that I like what is now being done.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the other part, the other way that I can respond is simply to ignore the criticism and continue doing what I'm doing. I try to listen a little bit, but I know that this is what I mean to do. And if Tom doesn't like it, it's a difference in
taste.
Well,
that's the thing. It's subjective, and it's subjective all the way around, and it's subjective on the part of the diners, too.
Now, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about Mintwood Place, which you're involved with, and then you are opening up your own place?
I am.
Well, we want to definitely get the 411 on that. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking with Mark Furstenberg about all of his projects. We're drinking wines from India, and up next, Gina Cersavani is going to be shaking up a cocktail. We'll be right back.
Only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds? Sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you. And the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife,
my kids,
our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
You don't realize how much I need.
Oh, I love it, Beatles. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with Mark Furstenberg, and I almost couldn't get back into the segment because I was swallowing locks and
Gravlox,
excuse me, and unbelievable bread. When was it the bread is this morning's bread?
Yes, the bread was in the refrigerator.
What kind of bread is this?
It's a light whole wheat bread with a little bit of egg in it. It's a whole wheat challah, if you must know,
I must remade
into a bread.
Well, no, but the crust is not challah-like.
No.
It's
well, really I want to jump in because we only have about two more minutes.
I want to wax poetic about
You're doing
bread.
Something new called Bread and Breakfast that I read about. And I guess my question is
what is it? Where is it?
Where is it? And is a breakfast restaurant a thing here in D.C. now?
Ah, wonderful question. That's a terrific question.
Well, I'm a brilliant interviewer, Mark.
It's going to be a retail bakery. And if I had my choice, truthfully, I would do simply a little neighborhood bakery. But I don't have enough confidence that enough people will come and spend enough money to make it successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to indulge myself by doing one of my other passions, which is breakfast. Washington doesn't have a breakfast restaurant. Other cities do, but Washington doesn't. And I don't understand exactly how that happened because it wasn't always true, but it is now. So I'm going to open a breakfast restaurant that does American breakfast.
Where?
DuPont Circle.
Do you have a location?
I have a location, but since the lease is not signed.
Well, that's fine.
It may or may not happen at that location, but it will happen at DuPont Circle.
Well, I have to say, the whole concept of power, you know, power dining has probably changed breakfast, too. I have more breakfast meetings with people who want to go have a meeting and then get on to work rather
than hotels?
You know, at hotels, and honestly, sometimes a Silver Diner in Tyson's or Rockville, because they're so convenient.
But there is
But they're not in Washington.
No, there is no iconic. When you travel to other cities, there are places where you have to go to breakfast.
Mama's
on
the Square in San Francisco.
Right, Sarah Best up in New York. Sylvia's in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
There's no place like that here, so it'd be great to bring that to market.
All right, and Mark, we've got two more seconds. I got to ask you a question. You're writing a book called The Cranky Chef.
You don't seem cranky.
Are you cranky? You don't seem cranky at all.
I'm cranky about the food business.
Oh, well, I think a lot of people are.
But that's a subject for another program, I think.
Okay.
All right.
It's more than a two-second answer.
Listen.
Oh, and wait, can we just you are participating in Sips and Sups next week?
Absolutely.
Okay, what are you doing for it?
Bread. Bread You're for Alice Waters.
Bread for Alice Waters. That sounds like a book title.
Tossing bread upon the waters.
Very good.
Thank you. Okay, that's all for this week. Oh, no. All right. So, Girish, let's come back to you. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I did some reading up on just the sort of the wine industry in India. There's a lot of wine, a great deal of wine imported from Chile and from Australia and from everywhere else. How will you go out? Are you going at trying to break into the market?
You have to be in
there,
Mike.
or is it this all for export to the U.S. that you're trying?
Both places. Yeah, we are in the market there, but in a very limited sort of in the so-called metro areas, because that's where the wine drinking happens, and we're importing it here as well. Only because I live here in New York, so it's nice to have a restaurant down the street that keeps your wine.
Absolutely.
How convenient, right?
But what is the initial reaction from the market before they taste the wines? When you say, I have wines from India, what do people say?
I think it's sort of basically two extremes. One is either they're not interested at all in trying them, or they're extremely intrigued and receptive to the idea of something new.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, at the end of the day, the true wine lover loves to explore, you know, flavors and textures, and especially the balance of the final product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think true wine lovers are always looking for new experiences.
All right. Well,
I want to say, I mean, first of all, the Sauvignon Blanc is so crisp and light.
Very
and it
light.
Was perfect with the pickles and pate that Mark brought in. It's what an accompaniment.
Why do you think we have a radio show for crying out loud?
So tell us what you're going to be pouring next.
The next thing we're going to be pouring is the Brio, which is our Shiraz, and we call it Brio.
In front of the mic. I'm so sorry you have to be in front of the mic.
The Brio is a Shiraz, and we call it Brio because it's kind of spicy and lively and vivacious. So,
excellent.
And earthy. It's once again, it reflects the terroir quite a bit.
So it's an Indian wine with an Italian name.
It's an Italian name.
Exactly. It's international.
All right, well, while you're pouring that, let's get Gina Trisavanti in here. Everybody, Gina's a return guest. How many times have you been? You're practically Yeah, third time?
Third time.
You're Alec Baldwin. And Gina's the mistress of mixology at PS7's down in Penn Quarter. But she's also involved with the International Wine and Food Festival that's coming back to the Reagan Building on February 10th. And if you've never been, just think an enormous space filled with chef and restaurant samplings and classes and seminars and wine tastings and cocktails. Gina, I guess, you know, why is it that cocktails and spirits have such a big place at the table for this year's festival? Because how come it doesn't say International Food, Wine, and Cocktails Festival?
I think that should be the next one.
Yeah.
We're taking over, baby.
Cocktails, you know, incorporate so much with food. I mean, everything that I'm doing today, I'm actually going to do a little demo based on aphrodisiacs, and the aphrodisiacs are all about food.
Say what? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Nellis are here.
Little aphrodisiacs kind of get the blood flowing in the right area.
Right. Well, February
is Sunday morning.
That's one of the seven words you can't say. Area.
I think it's important to kind of show like where else the other applications of food are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, bar chefs have never been using or. I hate to use the term mixologist, but they use so much stuff from the kitchen. They're so inspired by chefs that they inspire other people to take the nutmeg out of the cabinet or the honey or the rosemary and use it in their cocktails.
No, I just said that to Nikki this morning. Take the nutmeg out of the cabinet.
something like that. So now what will you be doing at the International Wine and Food Festival? And we should say, did you say the dates? The dates are the February 10th
I did,
through the
13th.
Okay, well,
I did.
Checking.
Doing my thing.
So on actually the Sunday the 13th, I'm going to be doing a demo stage, and it's going to be about aphrodisiacs. Okay. And how to make the elixir for Valentine's Day.
Well, it is the day before Valentine's
Yes.
Day. Perfect.
So it's kind of, so each thing I did a little bit of a study on aphrodisiacs and what kind of gets the blood flowing for a man and a woman, and put everything together in a glass. And we did found out that saffron, mm-hmm. in saffron, sassafras, and orange is a great elixir to, enhance a woman's alertness.
Libido. Wait, what is sassafras?
Sassafras is a root. It's a, you know, it's a main ingredient in either root, some people say root beer or sarsaparilla.
Right.
And it's or you can use the bark of a tree.
So where do you get it?
You can actually, it's really funny, you can get it online, or if you want, because we are in Washington, D.C., College Park has a little place called Smiles Herb Shop on Berwyn Road, and it's a great little hippie.
Do they
just
have like pots and fun,
they have like
cool
everything
things.
So that you can cure a cold, or you can clean your house, or you can, you know, make an elixir.
Do you cure a cold with the same stuff you use to clean your house?
You know, what's really funny, reading all this stuff, yes, you can clean your
vinegar,
kinds of different things like that. It's amazing. I have a book. It's like 18th century farmhouse wives, and been reading it. I'm like, this is nuts.
All right. But so what are you making right now? What are you going to start with?
So we're going to do, the first cocktail we're going to do is we're going to use a little bit of Benedictine, which is actually a very old liqueur. And the monks must have known a little bit about how to, make people get going, because they have literally, there's honey and ginger and cardamom and just a whole bunch of different herbs in there that make all this happen already.
So they were voyeurs because they couldn't get going, so they just wanted to see everybody else get going.
Let's see what happens here.
All right. So while you're mixing that up, I want to get a couple of facts out there about the International Wine and Food Festival, because mm-hmm. if you've never been, you got to go. And this year is even going to be bigger than anyone we've been to. There are over 100 wineries, beer, spirits, and gourmet food booths, chef demos, and a big food pavilion they've got there.
Right.
And
food is really on the table this year. I think in years past, there was a lot of wine, but now they brought in the mixology segment too. But there's so much else
I was reading about it. They've got receptions and dinner.
Well, you do a lot of reading before
dinner
the show.
I can read. The dinner at the National Aquarium, and they've got a battle of the sommeliers and everything. It's cool. There's some
and
new
Gina,
stuff.
You said there's some celeb chefs who are going to be there. Do you know who?
Yes, actually. Saturday's lineup is pretty awesome. We have Carla Hall from Top Chef.
Right.
As well as Mike Isabella, who's on Top Chef Masters this time. And hopefully we'll see how he does. It's going to be amazing. And then we have local chefs as well. We have a couple in the works, which I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to say just yet.
You could say.
Hopefully, we'll be getting Spike.
From good, good stuff.
Yeah. So, and We the Pizza, and then working on David Gwass from Bayou Bakery, which just opened up in Virginia.
Very cool. That's awesome. So, will they be doing demos?
They'll be on the demo stage on the chef demo stage.
Are you like squeezing kumquats? What are
I'm
you doing over there?
I'm putting kumquats inside of the cocktail. I'm actually just using the little inside of the sour.
Okay.
You know, so, it's amazing that after this show that we're not so zonked.
I don't drive intentionally.
Get a DUI just leaving the parking lot a giant.
Well, the police station is right across the street, you know.
I'm fine, officer.
Well, kumquats are really high in vitamin C, so it kind of keeps you going.
Okay.
So we're going to put those in there as well. Apparently, right. They're an aphrodisiac as well.
So now, how did you come up with this cocktail? I mean,
just reading. Like, I read about all these different things, and inside you have sassafras. We have saffron, we have Benedictine, a little bit of whiskey. That's to kind of like, you know, make you like your partner. And then...
something oughta.
And then it's kumquat, and it just kind of made sense to me. I don't know. It's just one of those things, like, you know, when you see something in a store and, like, you're walking down an aisle, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that all works. And it's kind of the same thing, except I did it...
So did you do that? Every time you see a kumquat, that makes sense.
And
I don't even know what a kumquat looks like.
Kumquat's like a little. Here we go.
Yes, you are. They're like little citrusy oranges.
They're a little citrusy. They're nature's
no
sour
idea.
Patch kid.
Whatever.
Sweet on the outside and sour on the inside. You want to try one?
Not especially.
Yeah, they're
but,
good.
All right,
yeah,
all right,
yeah. Kumquat.
It's a food show. I have to.
Do you want one?
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. I've had them before.
Okay.
So
the first. All right. So go
now
ahead.
You're pouring it over ice. Those are very pretty ice cubes. Are you doing something special to them?
They're actually. I brought the tray just to show you guys that you can do this at home. But right now, the big thing is to have a cold draft machine in restaurants where you have those big 1-inch by 1-inch cubes.
Right.
You could go to Sur La Table, and you can get yourself the same thing. You can go and buy those cube trays and make them at home, so you can actually have the same cocktail.
But what is the importance of the shape and size of the ice?
I mean, I'm supposed to say that it makes a really big difference. It actually doesn't. It just looks really good.
The International Ice Association will be very angry.
I know. I just lost my cold draft sponsorship. Okay. We know that, right? That just happened.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, Gina is going to be mixing up another cocktail. We're going to be talking more wines with India. And if you are looking for a career change, Frank Morales with L'Académie de Cuisine is in, and we'll be talking about cooking school.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you, because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest, and over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-600-1195.
Restaurant Week is right around the corner, and Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown is one of the hottest reservations in town for this annual wintertime celebration of food and restaurants. From January 17th through the end of the month, enjoy a great lunch or dinner at a great price at just $20.11 for a three-course lunch and $35.11 for a three-course dinner Monday through Saturday during Restaurant Week. You get a pizza at every table to start, plus other delicious choices for a wonderful dining experience. Make your reservations today online at farmersandfishers.com.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Oh, we're shaking it because Gina's shaking it.
Metro Station, right?
Nice. There you go. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with Gina Trisavani. Gina just mixed up, a thing.
What are we calling it? What's it called?
So this one is Aphrodite's Charm.
Cute.
So it's geared towards the women, and now we're going to make an Eros.
Ooh.
So just like Eros. A quick mythology thing for you. So Aphrodite rose out of the sea on an oyster, and then she gave birth to Eros, her son, and that's how
Sandro Botticelli painted that, by the way.
And that's how the first aphrodisiac was born. So they call it, that's why an oyster is an aphrodisiac. So everyone's like, oh, that's kind of like, you know, not really true. And then we went back to read about it, and oysters contain a bunch of zinc, which is also very good for actually men.
I must
ladies.
Eat a lot of oysters. I don't know.
I don't know what you're eating.
All right, so we only have a couple of minutes.
All right.
But tell us, because PS7's Andrew Merkert has a big moment coming up here. Can you tell us about that real quick?
On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Andrew will be on Chopped on the Food Network. We're extremely proud of him.
Well, for those who haven't watched Chopped, have you watched it?
Yeah,
so, you explain what the show is like and what he's going to be doing?
So Chopped is three chefs competing against one another, and they get mystery baskets. And I have to tell you, some of these baskets are ridiculous.
They're bizarre, right?
Like I watched one episode, and one was like hot dogs, oysters, and it was ridiculous. It was a marmalade.
Those are tailgating aphrodisiacs. Right.
Who puts those three things together? And then and
they
then,
just
like,
want to screw with them.
And it's a exactly. And then they have 30 minutes to create a dish, and then they go in heats against each other. So we're extremely proud that Andrew made the show, and that we're really happy to see the results. And he hasn't told us anything.
They're
so
not
it's
allowed.
Killing
it's
us.
Super.
It's just killing us. I can't wait till Tuesday.
Oh, fine.
All right. So wait, I got to ask a question real quick. Nikki told me last night, because, you know, cocktails are great, but alcohol and sugar and all, they're kind of fattening. You're working on some low-cal cocktails? How is that?
You do 100-calorie cocktails.
Yeah, 100-calorie cocktails.
How do you do that?
It's a lot of research, but it's pretty awesome. Basically, it's kind of deleting out, it's measuring sugar in different things, such as your fruits, cranberries, alcohol, using different spirits and like knowing what spirits in their calorie count. So like a vodka, an ounce and a half of vodka is generally around 88 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 16 calories to kind of play with. And some of them maybe 102, 102 calories. And we'll put on there, this one's 102. And it's using stevia as a sweetener and trying to stay natural.
Smart.
Right. I love stevia.
And then
that's
it's
use.
Amazing. I got dared to make a chocolate drink this year, and I did. I made a chocolate one. But I wound up using sucralose and cayenne pepper. So it's like chili and chocolate. And I found out that
she's speaking my language.
Chili and chocolate
delicious.
Together, it's actually really good for your...
That's an aphrodisiac too, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's good for your metabolism. It actually boosts
right.
it. So and who knew that chocolate would boost your metabolism?
So well, but it's also the combination of the chocolate and the pepper, the way they work together.
Yeah.
That's what's so good for your metabolism.
I mean, I was like, this is great. I could just drink that. And then we use it with skim milk and a little bit of vodka, and it works, and it's really good.
That sounds
all right,
great.
So I want to get Girish back in here. You want to mix up
Gina's
your drink?
Gina's going to mix
Gina.
Up her drink.
Girish, yep. I've got a question for you. Let's get you in front of a mic here. Indian wines. Okay. You know, how are you? I mean, what kind of reaction are you getting when you walk into a distributor or a restaurant or whatever here? Are people going, huh?
Yes, they are. And because Indian wines are not well known at all, and the Indian wine industry has not tried to make wines of an international standard.
Why is that? A country that size with that enormous and that much diversity and everything, why is it taking so long?
Because they can sell everything they make. And so unfortunately, sometimes this happens, you know, if you can sell everything you make, you don't feel like you have to improve quality.
Like you're missing anything.
Yeah, right. So, but we want to do it differently. We really have a focus on trying to create a wine region, awareness of India. So, but as I said, you know, we're very careful about not walking in randomly into places and trying to sell our wines. And we do our research on, you know, what kind of community this outlet serves, whether it's a restaurant or a distributor or a retailer. And we also like to look at how the owners are involved in it. So if they're hands-on and if they're tastemakers in the community, then those are the people we like to approach.
And are Indian restaurants welcoming, or are they like, no, our patrons only want, you know, California, Chile, Italy, whatever?
Many Indian restaurants are welcoming. In fact, we are at Rasika here in Washington, D.C., which is one of our...
Shuk Bajaj, sure.
Yeah. And
I think that's a good place to be. I mean, it's one of the best restaurants in the city, so can't hurt. Yes.
And we're in several restaurants in New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, I think with the Indian restaurants, it's sort of the other way around. They're very eager to see an Indian wine and you know, and because
and educate their patrons. Right. I think people are looking. I mean, when you talk about local, people are looking for an authentic experience. And if you go to an Indian restaurant, why wouldn't you want to try wines from India? I mean, they
especially
should go hand in hand.
This good. This
absolutely
is,
right. And the other thing is that Indian food. Wine has not been a part of the Indian table for centuries, you know. Mm-hmm. So Indian food has evolved sort of separately from the grape component to it, if you would. So we are trying to promote Indian food and wine pairing. I mean, you know, unfortunately, with Asian cuisines and Indian cuisines, which are spicy, there's this notion that something like Gewürztraminer or sweet Riesling is the right thing to pair it with. And I believe that's a canard. I think that you can look for the complexity in the wines to complement the complexity of the spices. And
that may be way too deep and intellectual an approach for
I don't think so. Guys. I think you're right. I mean, I don't like either of those wines, but I think people think you have to counter spicy with sweet, and I don't think that makes sense
beer.
At all.
And, right. You know, the Shiraz you're drinking right now, the Brio, is especially good with something called lamb kolapuri, which is what Rasika pairs it with. Mm-hmm. And that's a very spicy dish, but it's a complex spicy dish, spiciness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, complexity of flavors is the key ingredient of the key quality ingredient, a metric of wine. So, but the point is that you have to pay attention to it. I mean, if you just want to sip something, you might as well sip.
Well, speaking of that,
okay,
may
we are
I ask you to pour your other wine, and let's bring in Professor Frank Morales. Where
Please?
Are you, Frank?
Later, David.
All right, so Frank's another repeat guest on the show. We've known him for years.
No, he's not. He's never been on the show before.
Yes, he has. I thought you were on the show when we first got started.
Nope.
First time.
Well, at my age, you know, I'm having a senior moment. You're repeating in my head, Frank. Anyways, but we've known Frank forever. He was he's the guy that helped launch Zola and turn it into... what the New York Times called Washington's hottest new restaurant. I think Condé Nast Traveler said you were one of the 75 best new restaurants of the year that year. You were the guy that helped launch Rustico. You mm-hmm. were the guy that invented Beer Pops, my favorite popsicle, along with Greg Engert. Now you're a head chef instructor at L'Académie de Cuisine's Culinary Arts Program. And should I call you, like, Dr. Morales?
Professor. Well,
the Island of Dr. Morales?
Yeah. It's not that, it's not as formal as that. They actually call me Chef Frank, so it's very informal formal.
But tell us about night school at L'Académie. Why do it?
Well, first, tell us where it doesn't start till February, right? The
February
program hasn't
7th.
Started yet.
Right.
Okay.
It was the first
so how did you get involved?
Well, I was approached by Francois Dionneau about this program. He had been receiving quite a few inquiries about a nighttime program, mostly from people who were already successful in one field
mm-hmm.
and who were very passionate and had this underlying dream, if you will, of being the next top chef.
Mm-hmm. And so...
That sounds like American Idol.
But so they just decided that because people couldn't quit their day jobs...
Right.
To launch this sort of program. And so what's your involvement and how is the program sort of rolling out?
It's very interesting because it's actually allows people to transition from one career into what is their passion, what for most folks has been dormant, if you will, is mm-hmm. just coming out. And what I'm doing is helping to craft what the school has a program that has been around and has been successful and has really put, you know, Carla Hall is one of their graduates
right.
as well.
And Peter went there. Didn't Peter go there? Peter Smith went
is
there
a
too.
As well.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So
it goes back quite frequently. So.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, established, very successful program, and now it's going into its evening phase. And with me, it's more of me bringing that restaurant experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
the
not,
real world.
Real world.
Sure.
Yeah. Instead of the practical, it's really, you know, the hands on. This is how it's done. Kind of situation. And that's what I bring to the program.
And how, so as people are doing this through the evening, how different is it from the daytime? Because it must take longer, right?
It takes 6 weeks longer. The daytime program is 12 weeks by 12 weeks, two phases, phase one, phase two, and then there's phase three, which is the outside, the externship program.
The internships,
program.
Or externship.
Whereas the evening program will be 18 weeks. It's mm-hmm. the same curriculum, same requirements, same testings. And then the externship is after that is equally as long.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a year program as opposed to the 12 weeks, 12 weeks, 12 weeks mm-hmm. Program. That's the only difference in the program.
You wonder if people don't have trouble balancing all that if they're, you know, with their day job.
Well, I think if you're passionate about something, you know, if you really want this, I mean, here's the opportunity. You're giving it to them.
Right.
You know, you want, if you really want to be in a kitchen, this is.
Well, it's three nights a week in phase one from 6 to 10.
Right.
Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. then Saturdays from 8 to 4. I mean, it's really, it's grad
commitment.
School.
It is, and it, but it's very interesting because most of the folks that are enrolling in this program, they're not just out of high school.
They're
professionals who are already successful and have had, you know, the skill set to actually balance and you know, balance a checkbook. You know, they can
well,
do
I
it.
Well, I think if it's something
maybe
you...
Maybe Nikki should take your course.
That's not going to help me balance a checkbook. I'm not good with math. But I think if you're committed, you know, if you're passionate about cooking, I think a lot of people go into a restaurant. I mean, those in the industry know, you know, they cook at home and people say, oh, you cook so well, you know, you should open up a restaurant. But there's so much involved in cooking for more than just four people sitting at your table or even six people sitting at your table and understanding how to do that,
yeah.
not to mention running a business. I mean,
right.
You know, people just don't realize how hard it is to run a restaurant.
It's you have to have that passion. You really have to be about it. I mean, for me, it's mm-hmm. I teach, but I still, you know, I still have that craving for the restaurant. I still want to be in that frenetic energy, that nuttiness that just, you know, you thrive on.
Oh, just mm-hmm. have more kids.
That does help.
Get you out there, I can sell to you.
Well, listen, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk about specifically what you'll be doing there, some of the other people who will be teaching. You brought in all this gorgeous food. I want to talk about that, too. So this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking a cocktail, talking a little more about India wines, and getting the 411 on L'Académie de Cuisine's new evening program. We'll be right back.
That was a mouthful. One
felt the lightning, yeah, waited on the thunder, waited on the thunder.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostick, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better, because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you. And the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
I'm a teacher. Oh, I've got it there.
Frank doesn't have his headphones on. He's playing Hot for Teacher. Back with on Foodie and the Beast with Frank Morales, who is a renowned chef and now also an instructor at the L'Académie de Cuisines.
Now, what did you bring in today?
I'm not done.
Oh,
you're
right.
Jumping in.
I can't help it.
Know your place, Vuman.
Okay.
All right. Before we do anything, I quickly just want to thank the folks that sponsor the show. Mm-hmm. That's important. Georgetown Bagelry, great bagels, great people. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery.
Church Key,
Columbia Firehouse.
Rustico.
Birch and Barley. Be quiet.
Okay.
Also, the people at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers, two great restaurants, one down on the harbor in Georgetown, one down on Pennsylvania Avenue. And our friends, new friends at Potomac Hospitality, Notte Bianchi Dish, and Circle Bistro. Thanks for supporting the show. Frank.
David.
Nikki has a question for you.
Well, so you brought bread.
Yes. How daunting is that? Following Mark Furstenberg.
Wait, maybe so what you need to feel better is an aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Well, why is that so daunting? I mean, your breads are delicious. I mean, is it a little nerve-wracking?
Oh, it's absolutely nerve-wracking. I mean, he's one of the premier bread makers in the country and well-respected and does a great job and brings in a great bread. And so my thought was to show the fundamentals of what we do at school, and one of the fundamentals of school and life, for that matter, is bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the simple ingredients crafted properly, paid attention to, really come
you
out with a beautiful product.
Ciabatta, and this is delicious.
It is. It's
Thank
really
you.
Yummy.
Thank you. Nerve-wracking,
well,
but, you know, it...
I'm going to give you an unsolicited testimonial.
Well, thank you so much.
I lived in Italy for several years. This is as good as anything on any table there.
And it's fun because it's an incredibly difficult dough to work with.
It's is it?
Such a wet dough that, you know, that's why the... You know, I love the word artisan.
Mm-hmm.
It has a beautiful artisan appearance. It's sometimes a little more, you know, flat, curved. It's because it's very difficult to work
it's
with.
Beautiful.
But it's
I'll
when
bet
it
Mark Furstenberg couldn't do this.
I think he does it very well.
And what kind of soup
He's coming
is
back
this?
In to kick my butt.
I made a pear apple butternut squash soup with a little bit of whipped cream. All simple.
We're both like eating.
Stop the show.
It goes well with the wine as well.
It does.
I believe
it goes beautifully
is
with
really
the wine.
Nice with it as well.
Oh my
and
God.
So are you teaching physical recipes? Like what part, what component are you teaching the students?
Well, it's a great question because a cookbook has recipes, but to learn, you have to understand how to work with the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So what I teach is not a recipe. I don't give the students recipes. What I say is this is flour, this is water, this is yeast, and this is salt.
Mm-hmm.
But in the right ratio, the right temperature, the right activation, the right proofing, all of these are things that need to be recognized as you go through it. So a recipe comes after you learn how to do it.
Can I ask a question? What impact have shows like Gordon Ramsay? No, not even. Gordon Ramsay and all that had on. I mean, people also have to learn how to. It's a high pressure situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rock and roll environment.
Right.
And people have to learn, have to be able to work collegially or the whole thing breaks down. Do you have people that are watching those shows and thinking that the yelling and the screaming is part of the shtick?
I mean, absolutely.
Gina says
like, yes.
Absolutely.
So do you beat them up?
Well, you don't. You don't. You encourage.
Beat
you,
them up.
I don't think it works so well.
Frank
the
Morales
feather duster.
Was convicted of assault and battery today with a rolling pin.
No, I mean that is the craft. That is truly the craft of teaching, and that's something that, you know, takes time. You know, for me, when I first started teaching, I had that 3-second delay. Now I'm at 10 seconds. You know, it takes time. You have to really approach it differently. School is not. You know, that high pressure system, it graduates to that. You in phase two, you're under time frames, you have to move a little quicker,
mm-hmm.
but you encourage. Everything is about encouraging and building. I like to say this. At school, I'm the trainer and I'm teaching the students their culinary muscles so that they can go to the Olympics. Then they go to when they graduate the
wow.
Olympics, they go into the professional.
That was beautiful.
It's all about the culinary
all right,
muscle.
I'm going to change the subject. We've got about 90 seconds here, and I know you're also working with the people at Blue Ridge in Upper Georgetown. What's that all about?
Well, I started my own company, and it's a consultation company. And generally speaking, what I do is I go in, and much like Mark does, I help people improve their menus, whether it's the seasonality aspect, whether it's the food costing, whether it's the actual beer menus I do as well.
Do people need help with sourcing?
Well, first
are they
of all,
still,
we should say that Blue Ridge has... They're renovating right now, so the
They're
doors are closed,
mm-hmm.
And are you a part of, like, helping them redo and kick off?
Yeah, I'm there consulting with the new menu, but I won't be on premise. I won't be the person that's
from
the day-to-day operations, no.
Okay.
Are you still finding, though, that some restaurants are having, I mean, that they'll still just call up, you know, whoever the big distributor is and say, drop off some bologna, or are they all kind of hip to the
sourcing? Bologna's on everybody's menu.
It's interesting because it's a commitment. You know, sustainability is a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Sourcing is a huge commitment. So each one of those restaurants that takes the time to do it, really, you should... You know, patronage. They truly are making a commitment.
We were in that taco place up the street from us. Tessa.
Chipotle.
Yeah, Chipotle. But I mean, their signage is all about.
Let's just make that clear. Yeah. You know, not me.
Well, wait a minute. You can. You know, that happens to be pretty decent food, and they're very focused on sourcing and sustainability, and antibiotic free meats and all of that stuff. I mean, I think everybody. I'm seeing a lot of that kind of work its way down to the masses. I'm just curious if some of the, you know, the better restaurants are still yet to get on the bandwagon.
No, they're the ones who started it.
I think that, exactly. They're the ones who, just as you said, it's sort of trickle-down economics.
That's total trickle-down, right.
It's working its way down into fast casual restaurants like Chipotle.
Okay.
But it's important. I mean, it truly is important.
Well,
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and bringing all this fabulous food.
I think
Gina,
I want to be a chef.
I want to just talk to Gina for one sec before we wrap up because we do have to do it. You like skewered a sprig of rosemary to the side of the glass with a piece of lemon zest. What? Like, what is this? Can you explain it?
Yeah, so the cocktail is actually a Cardamaro blue coat, a little bit of lemon cocktail, and then the flavors or the scents and the aromas in it are, lemon peel, a little bit of rosemary, but you don't actually want them in the drink. So using a spring, thanks to Zach at the restaurant, because I clearly...
This is like a pen spring,
I would never come up with this. I have a pastry chef that's worked everywhere, you know, Zach Miller, and he's amazing, and he's, you know, from Picheline and from New York, and now is with us. He's like, you should use a spring and you should have a aromatherapy. I was like, yes, and I'm going to say it's my idea, but I actually said the truth.
It's really cool.
All
I
right.
mean, you really
it
smell it.
Guys, I hate to, I got to be the principal here and jump in because we've got a couple of minutes. Gears, come back in because I want people to know where they can find your wines at retail or online.
Yes, in the Washington, D.C. area, we are at Cleveland Park Wines.
Now, this is the Good Earth Winery.
The Good Earth Winery. And we're going to have a tasting at a retail establishment called D-Vines. I'm not quite sure where it is. It's just
D-Vines. Isn't that? It's up on 14th Street.
Yeah.
Yes. This on February 4th.
14th. Okay.
So you're all invited to join us in the evening there. We are at Rasika in the restaurant, and we're going to be in a few more, but I'm not ready to talk about it just yet.
All right, when you are, you'll tell us, and
yes,
people will be able to find that on the list.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. All right, I do want to say that, unfortunately, even in an hour, there's not, there's so much more to be covered. If you want to know what's happening around town, go to thelistareyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe. It details literally hundreds of events and activities and things to do. If you're a foodie or not, like me.
Right.
And it's free. It's free to subscribe. So you can also follow Nikki on Twitter. And if you tune into WTOP at 103.5 a little later, you can hear her at 10 of 1 tell you about what's happening this week.
That's right. Okay. So as we do on every show, we like to point out a specific charity. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but there is a fantastic event going on next week. And if you can get in on it, you certainly should.
Well, Saturday the 22nd, it's Saturday Night Sips. It benefits Martha's Table and DC Central Kitchen.
Gina's going to be there.
Gina.
What don't you do, Gina?
Go in and have Gina sign
your thigh
or something, because after drinking all her drinks, you'll be ready to have her sign your thigh. But it's a cocktail reception with Jose Andres and Alice Waters and Joan Nathan.
And Mark Furstenberg is
Mark
making all the bread.
Right. It celebrates the role that young people play in fighting hunger locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Local chefs, national chefs. Chefs will be there. It's going to be unbelievable. Alice Waters, Cahal Armstrong. I'm just looking down the list. Todd Gray.
Well, you're looking at two things. So the cocktail event is on the 22nd, and that's only $100 a ticket, and that's really for everybody. And then Sunday night, the 23rd, are the dinners. Sips Saturday, sups Sunday.
Yeah, I meant that.
Yeah. And that is way more expensive, but you have some of the best chefs in the world coming to D.C. to cook up these dinners to raise funds for Martha's Table and D.C. Central Kitchen.
Okay.
So incredible charities, incredible cause, and delicious food. Also, as we do on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote. I have no idea what you picked this week, so surprise me.
Well, one of my favorite writers, Omar Khayyam, said, "A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou." And that's really all I need for happiness. Some of these Good Earth Winery wines and you, Nikki.
Aw, thanks. Right. And bread.
All right, so next week, I just want to let you know, it'll be like Who Let the Dogs In.
We have 10 seconds.
Okay, we're done.
Right.
Well, I want to thank our guests, Mark Furstenberg, Girish Matra, Gina Chersavani, and Frank Morales.
Yep.
And don't forget to turn into TBD next Saturday at 11 to see this show and some other cool stuff. This is Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and I'm out of time.
Have
Bye.
Have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is